welcome to the Questionnaires podcast, where each week we source the best questions from Yahoo Answers and attempt to provide the best advice from...
Why does K mean thousand?
Two.
Can I legally open a restaurant named Five Star Restaurant?
We're here to prove that every question deserves an answer. Joined with me this week, as always, is Marcus.
Hello there, Tom.
And Damien.
Hello.
Do we want to like make a boring observation and like ask Marcus why it actually is K a thousand because he's such a numbers man, or is Damien going to steal the limelight as the quizmaster?
I wasn't going to say anything, but when I saw Marcus had picked that question for the intro, I was going to be like, well, actually, but then I thought, do people
glasses.
On the podcast want to hear me explain why it's K?
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Like I'm said pretty that, sure it comes from. Don't know.
From memory, I think it comes from like the Greek for a thousand. So it's from like the ancient Greek and then it's just carried over into,
What it really translates also to in modern day life is when someone drops a K in the chat, it's a thousand daggers right into your heart. It's just like, K? You didn't even give me the O?
What it also translates into is bad podcasting material. It's not very interesting to listen to. So we can move on from the K.
We get it out of the way at the start, though.
Literally, right at the start, that's it.
Worst questions we bring are those first two, I must say.
Yeah. Always. 100%.
How's it going, boys? Are you doing well?
Look, I'm going to be honest. We're recording this on a Saturday at 10 a.m. And I'm amongst friends here. I'm usually still in bed at this time on a Saturday. So if my response to every question that we get today is whatever, suck it, it's because they've interrupted my nap time. So just letting you guys know that now.
You can always drop a K if you want.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. His beauty
I'll drop a thousand K's.
Ouch.
I was just going to say, it's funny because I used to be like that, like, you know, 10:30, 11, still in bed. But I don't know what it is now. I can't wake up like past 8:30. I don't have a kid. I don't have an excuse like Tom that says, hey, I'm going to wake you up at 6 a.m. every morning. I'm just me.
She doesn't even do
and
that.
I wake up at 8.
Yeah, I wake up before everyone in my house.
You're the baby in there.
I cry and then I get up.
So you don't have a little human alarm clock? Your sleep hasn't been interrupted?
No. I mean, I don't sleep super great anyway as it is. And I'm usually up at about like my body wakes up at 6 and then I just lay there like a corpse just until I decide like it's time to get up pretty much.
Okay.
But no, I don't. My body clock is all out of whack. I'm not looking forward to going back into on-site work because I feel like while I'm awake, I'm not sort of, my mind and my body are separate for a couple of hours.
Right.
Does that mean like, all right, so you wake up at 6, do you have an alarm?
No, I don't have alarms. Sometimes I set an alarm just as like a precautionary thing. And when I was going into work, I'd like sit there and I'd like look at my like phone or my and just wait for the alarm to almost go off, and then I'd like it would go beep beep, and I'd stop it straight away and be like, "There we go." I'm like,
"Oh my god, you're a serial killer!"
It's pretty much, yeah, it's pretty much that.
Is this a weird thing that I do then? Because my girlfriend begs me about this all the time. I will set, let's say, I have to be up by 7:30, right? The latest.
Yep.
I will set like 7 o'clock, 7:02, 7:05, 7:07, 7:10. I'll have like 10 alarms, and I'll just turn them all off until I absolutely have to get up.
Yeah, you're a monster. You're the serial killer.
Okay.
I'll explain why. Does your partner need to wake up at any of those times, or is she up before you?
Well, there are times I have to get up before her, which means she has to put up with me turning off 50 alarms.
That's exactly. That's why you're the serial killer.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Right.
I try and wake up before, not try and wake up before, but if I'm up, I usually wait until the alarm goes off because turning off the alarm and then turning it back on again is a pain in the ass. So I just wait for it to go off, then turn it off real quick, and I'm out of the bedroom, so I don't need to bug my partner. Damien's just like, no, for the next half hour, be prepared to hear.
I'm going to kill her with marimba.
Yeah.
Excuse me, everybody knows my alarm is I'm horny. That just goes off straight away in the morning. It's the best way to start the day.
I like to think that you got like 10 alarms, so it's like, I'm horny, and then you turn it off, and then it progressively gets less and less. So it's like, I'm off.
Yeah, it's just like,
right.
I'm asleep.
Right. You should have the Kids Bop version, which is good morning, 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 morning. They just change the lyrics.
That's really, I love those. You know what's weird about those Kids Bop versions? I don't know if people have heard them. They're essentially just like kids covering modern pop songs, right? Yeah. There is, I found one on Spotify of them covering Hot in Here. It's really weird because, yes, by Nelly, they don't change the lyrics enough. So it's like, when I listen to it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm on a list now and I'm going to jail because I felt like I committed a crime.
Like they changed all the lyrics except I'm getting so hot, I'm going to take my clothes off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Kids Bop, do better.
I was actually talking to a friend about this recently as well because his family's quite musical. So at every like our family party, everybody would kind of jump on instruments and play songs and stuff. And him and his cousins wanted to play Give Me Novocaine by Green Day.
Oh, yeah.
And they played it, right? But the adults were like, you can only play this song if you change Novocaine to Candy Cane. Like, that's the one stipulation. So they had to make like a Christmas Green Day version, basically, which is kind of funny.
Wow. That's the Christmas really album that Green Day never made. I'm sure they'll jump back onto it now. Unless they're making
Billy
plenty
Joel
of bank
it,
from...
Yeah.
Unless he's making plenty of bank from Cameo and Twitch streaming like all the other celebs are doing right now in COVID. So
yeah,
absolutely.
That's enough about that. Let's jump into what the show's all about, which is answering questions from the website Yahoo Answers. It's what we do each and every week. We find questions from the website, provide them advice to these people as if they're actually, you know, really listening. We like to think they are, and help them on their way. That's how the show works. The other thing we do is we choose a theme each week to name the question asker, and it's my theme this week. And I thought we could name our question askers after a chore that you don't mind doing. It could be anything around inside or outside the house. What's a chore that you're just like, you know what? I don't mind. I don't mind doing that.
I'm
it's
down
not
for
as
it.
Much
yeah,
of a chore.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. My chore of choice. I actually really like washing the dishes.
Do you bank the dishes up and then wash them all at once, or are you a clean as you go sort of guy? You did work at McDonald's and clean as you go is like a mantra there.
Clean as you go. I don't bank. I don't let it all stew. Like, you know, if you're cooking some pots and pans and like ones no longer need to be using you, and you've got free time. You've got like 5 minutes to do nothing. You clean those pants. It's
if there's time to lean, there's time to clean, which is also a McDonald's.
I was about to say, did you ever cop that from Mr. McDonald himself?
If there's time
Ronald
to lean,
crack the whip.
In fact, Tom used to crack that whip on me. Marcus, if there's time to lean, it's time to clean.
Is that true?
Like, hey, Tom.
No, I did not. But the thing about McDonald's was the benches were heated, so you couldn't lean on the benches without burning your arms.
So if there's time to lean, you've got second degree burns.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, I've actually never asked this to you guys. We've covered you guys working at Macca's extensively, but who was the more senior member? Like, Tom, could you tell Marcus what to do? Is that something you're really allowed to do?
Yeah, look, that was the time when the hierarchy, I was above Marcus. I don't know how it would be now, but that's more or less me trying to, like, you know, craft him into a beautiful work ethic that I had and get the respect that I had also amongst the other crew members. I wanted Marcus to basically be my Padawan.
Mini Tom.
Yeah,
Mini Tom.
Because he was a lost cause when he walked into the store, wasn't he? Like, he needed a lot of help.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, he one time didn't put the fish in a field of fish. And I mean, it's in the name, so. That reflected bad on me.
I just had the fillet O. That's it. That's all he had.
You know, the best part is about that story is the manager was serving it and she comes back to me. She goes, Marcus, there's no fish in the fillet of fish. I looked at her and just started laughing. And she's looking at me dead in the face, goes, it's not funny. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And
you I made shocked it yourself. Anyway.
She's like, wait until Ronald hears about this. I like you fixing the solution, Marcus, by like grabbing the box and just crossing out fish on it and handing it back to the customer. It's like, there you go. It's just a fillet-o now.
I see no issue here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, anyway, I like dishwashing mainly because of Marcus. That's exactly why I love it. I find
it's where
soothing.
I put Marcus, I put him in the washroom straight away. I'm like, just wash these dishes.
Yeah, Tom trained me and then I realized Tom didn't like the washroom because he doesn't like getting wet. Me, I'm a wet boy. I'm a wet boy. Anyway. Bartender kicked us out of a bar. My boyfriend and I were at a bar and ordered about 5 drinks each. I tipped once and was planning on giving the bartender a big tip at the end, but he didn't know that. So after about our 5th drink we ordered, he asked us, is there something wrong with my drinks? Because I've only been tipped once. So I tried to explain to him that I tip at the end. So he was like, whatever. And so we ordered our last drink and my boyfriend used my debit card, but it didn't accept the $15 tip for some reason. And before my boyfriend could tip him cash, the bartender saw there was no tip on the receipt and said, I'm going to ask you to get the fuck out of my bar. Whoa. So we picked up our drinks, went somewhere else in the bar. Is that right, what he did to kick us out of the bar? I was going to give him a tip at the end until he said that. Dishwashing.
Okay.
There's lots to unpack here.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that tipping is about service, right? And I mean, if you were to then, you know, give a tip at the end of the service when the service was done, I think that's reasonable. And if that encounter happened before the end of the service, I mean, that's grounds for you to be like, well, you know what? Like, that's going to affect your tip, buddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But that's them's the rules.
Being in Australia and tipping not really being a thing, are there times or scenarios where you guys feel inclined to tip, or for the most part, do you think there's never a scenario where it warrants it?
I'll have to say that in the instances where I go to restaurants where tipping is sort of pushed upon you, it's generally a more expensive restaurant. So if anything, the restaurants that do want tips, I'm like, no, dude. Like, I paid like, that was $40 for like some kingfish sashimi. I'm not going to pay you more money on top of like that small serving size.
The most I've ever really tipped somebody, well, look, I have given some tips from time to time. I agree with Tom. The most time you ever get pushed on it is the expensive ones. And I'm always like, nope, because I've already spent enough money here. But it's more of a case like I go to like, I don't know, Macca's and it's like a $9.50 thing. And I'm like, I don't want the 50 cent coin. Like, not Macca's because they don't accept tips, but like those sort of like cafes or something like that where it's like, it's $1 to $2. I don't really want the coins. And I'm sure if you guys all tip this all together, you guys will eventually at the end of the day shift, hopefully get $30 to split between through all of you or $50, whatever it might be. That's my take on tipping.
I like that Marcus brought up Macca's because it'd be like, I can imagine him being like, you remembered the fish in my Filet-O-Fish. Here's 50 cents. Good job for doing that.
You've got a future here, boy.
Exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, like, and Tom, you hit on it. A lot of the time, it's the more expensive restaurants that are asking for tips. And call me cynical, but I feel like whenever the tipping option comes up on an FPOS machine, I always think, are the employees even seeing this money? Like, how do they even know?
Yes.
Like, because it's digitally going straight into an account. Yeah. And there have been restaurants that I've gone to where, you know, good service, blah, 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 and I might have tipped. And then it comes out later they were underpaying their staff or not paying them at all. And it's like, well, they definitely didn't get my tip. That went straight into the owner's bank account and that was never seen again.
Like if you were to like think back to going to a certain Greek food franchise in Melbourne and then...
No idea what you're talking about, Tom. No idea.
That's why when they handed the FBOS machine over, they mouthed, save me, help me. When they were like, pressing for the tip. They mouthed the words, please, because they weren't being paid.
It actually says on the FBOS machine, save me, yes or no. And you just make eye contact with them and hit no.
Is you know that SOS, like, that's what they're pressing on the FBOS machine. Yeah. I liked what my uncle used to do with this, with tipping anyway. Like if he had cash on him or whatever it was, he'd talk to the waiter, goes, now, if I give this tip, it's like a $20 bill or $10 bill, whatever it was, do you see it? Do you receive it? And the waiter's like, yeah, I can put it in my pocket right now. He goes, all right, here, put it in your pocket. Like, I want you to receive the tip, not everybody else. Like, that's I like that way of tipping. Like, do you get it? I want to see it in your pocket and let's be that.
Is there an instance, I know tipping's not obviously required, but is there an instance where you would do something like that if you knew it would get you better, like a better service? Like, let's say it's more like bribing, I guess. Is there a situation where you do that? I'm not talking about illegal bribing. I'm just saying like, hey, take care of us, you know, make sure you get us a table here. Or...
Yeah, you're greasing the wheels a bit, right?
Yeah, greasing the wheels.
I had my brother's friend when I used to go with my brothers and all that to a bar. Because I think the reality is, in my experience anyway, if there's a dude bartender, he's usually serving the women over me first anyway, right? Yeah, even if I doll myself up and make myself look real nice, it's never nice enough for the bartender.
But, I'm never the prettiest boy in the bar.
I'm never the belle of the ball, and that's the problem. But anyway, it's a separate issue. Let's move on. My brother's friend, as soon as he got to the bar, he would be like, hey, man, you're my bartender for the night. Here's 20 bucks. Just look after me. That's all I'm asking. And then for the rest of the night, he will just basically get bottle service in quotes, in that like whenever the bartender saw him, he was like a moth to a light. He'd go straight for him and he'd be like, here's an extra five to keep things going, that type of thing. It's a more expensive night, but he was getting good service.
But you know what? I think that's a fair enough thing, because what is he getting? The bartender's gotten a financial payout from this. It'd be like, all right, cool. This guy is actually, he's not being a jerk to me. He's giving me a little bit of extra money, so I'm going to give him a bit of extra service. You know, what is the reason for me to go to and serve anybody else? Like, I can, these girls might just sort of, you know, bat their eyelids at me, but, you know, that's all I'm really sort of getting out of it. I want the $20.
You can't put that in a bank. Batted eyelids. No. You can't put that into a bank account.
Maybe and, a spank like bank, but that's about it.
Like you said, Damien, because he's already given the $20 at the start, he might be inclined to give you more money as he goes. He's already money banks. He's already shown, hey, I've got the money. I can pay you. Mm. So that's why I reckon the bartender will consistently go there. He's like, hey, there's every chance I get an extra $5 here or there, and I'm making an extra $40, $50 out of the night.
It's a bad idea.
I think it was a good move. Having said that, I would never do that. Not that I'm tight with money. This same guy, like, he's this the same person that I once saw go to a casino and put like $1,000 down on black in roulette and him lose immediately and just shrug his shoulders. And at the time I really wanted a PS4. I'm like, you could have just given that to me. I could have bought a PlayStation 4. And instead you lost it in 2 seconds. What's wrong with you?
Either his money bags or not good with his money, Damien. There's two ways of thinking about it.
Yeah.
And look, what was he going to gain from giving you a PS4 there, Damien? What he gained out of that 2 second transaction was, oh well. It was an excitement for that 2 seconds.
Surely my happiness is better than 2 seconds of feeling, oh well. Surely, Marcus.
I would look onto the sort of tipping side of things. I think there's like a cafe I go to, we'll go for a walk and grab a coffee, and we've got like a little stamp card for you to get your loyalty, get a free coffee after however long. And I pay card every time, but every time I give the loyalty card, she gives like an extra little stamp on the loyalty thing. So she goes like, if you get two coffees, she gives us three stamps. And I'm like, this is a situation where I would like to tip, but I can't tip because I'm paying card, and that sort of makes it a little bit harder. Like, I'd almost like, I want to sort of reward her. If I give her $1 or something like that, or $2, or let's just say, that's still like half the cost of the coffee. And, you know, I think that would be a fair thing to do, but it's sort of a little bit difficult in cashless society.
Normally cafes have like a little tip jar, I'm assuming. If you've got some coins, Tom, when you go to the coffee shop the next time, just pay by card.
Just offload all my poo change.
Yeah, just here you go. This Dump is for it. You. Yeah.
Well, speaking on tipping, you guys have obviously been to the States and stuff. Were there any situations where you stuffed up a tip or you received bad service because you gave the wrong tip? Did you ever encounter anything like that?
I think when we went, we were pretty sort of, because we would often eat as a group as well, we were pretty like trying to make tipping the right tip. Sort the of right taken tip, yeah. care of. Yeah. And I think especially when you are in a group, like there were six of us, that's basically like when someone serves, a waiter serves a group of six, it's like, we're taking care of you. You know, it's not like it's just two people and that's easy. It's like, I had a table of six, so they'd expect like a 20% tip minimum, you know what I mean? So, and I mean, it's always sort of like foreign to anyone traveling, but it's something you, I guess, you have to be aware of in most places.
There was one of the very first transactions we had over there. The woman that served us, the lady that served us, said, you don't have to tip anybody. Like, she goes, she flat out said, you don't have to tip. But then she goes, if they give you bad service, don't tip them. I said, yeah, but okay. What's good service? Right. What's good service? And I realized we went to some place that was sort of fancy. And that's where I saw good service. That's where I saw the Coke glass was always filled up. He always just came around. He never came and bugged us, how are you eating and all that. He'd slide Magician. In. Like, he knew when your meal was done, he'd just slide in and say, how was everything? As opposed to your mid like spoonful, which a lot of people do. Oh, how is everything? Mm. Like, motherfucker, I'm eating right now.
Mid job right now.
I saw what good service was and I'm like, I want to appreciate that service. And he got a good tip, that guy.
He was a skilled waiter by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
My only experience with tipping in a foreign country is Japan. I don't know if I've spoken about this on the podcast before. I can't remember. But I would say in that country, you cannot tip in Japan, because every time I tried to give them extra money, I would always be chased down by a server as I left the restaurant to be like, you forgot this. I'm like, no, it's for you. And every time they would say, we cannot accept this. I'm like, all right, well, I can't even give them money. I can't give them free money.
Culturally, they like don't like the confrontation, even if it is a positive confrontation. They're just just like, no, we can't. We cannot.
Man, like in one situation, my cousin who came with me with his girlfriend to Japan with everybody else, he went to a restaurant and I think he left like an additional like $2 or something, right? Just because he had a full note and couldn't break it. He went home, went back to his hotel. The next day he got a call from the front office and he came down, was like, what's going on? And the receptionist at the hotel was like, so the waiter from the restaurant you went to last night saw that you forgot $2 at the restaurant. He caught a train over and dropped it off and returned the $2 to you. So he caught and return the money. So it's like, it's a complete opposite of, I don't know, anti-tipping, I guess.
That's anti-tipping, yeah.
He got mugged on the way home as well. But as long as the $2 got back, it's like the honor is everything.
And the weird thing is the muggers understood. They're like, okay, we won't take the $2. We respect that. We'll take everything else you have.
We respect your service that you're giving to this man, but we don't respect you. Give us all your money.
And your shoes.
Not mine. Yeah, and your shoes. Did you guys get a donation dollar in the mail while we're on speaking of dollars?
What?
No.
There was a dollar. There was basically a coin that the Australian government has minted, and it's called the donation dollar. And it's supposed to be, if you ever get that dollar, like through like a transaction or whatever, you're supposed to be encouraged to donate it to someone to be like, oh, cool, I'll use it as a tip or something like that. So it's basically forcing people to donate it.
So Tom, what you're saying is the government feel like you're a charity case. They've given you this donation. Is that right?
I've got the coin. I don't know where it came from. Let me get it. You guys riff for a bit.
Yeah.
I would say, Tom, if you are getting this donation coin, seeing as this podcast has never been in the green, you should just give that donation dollar to me or Marcus because we've been
that's
hemorrhaging
right.
money.
Yeah. Hemorrhaging money. Yeah.
Look, that's probably why I got it. The government realized that, like, I do all the work in editing, and so they're just like, but that's the donation dollar. It came on a little card.
Oh, wow.
It's got a blue circle in the middle, and it says, this is more than a dollar. It's the chance to help change a life for the better. Donate it to a cause, a charity, or simply those in need. So thank you, Australian government.
Do you know what's definitely happened?
Because
I've mentioned on the podcast those two little turd kids I saw going around looking at people's letterboxes. They've probably seen the donation dollar and just robbed the street blind and made $100 by going down one street. That's probably what's happened.
What a grift. What an absolute grift. That's a genius idea.
They didn't think that through, did they?
No, they definitely didn't.
In fact, you know what, you guys? I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'm just going to go make some quick cash. So I'll see you guys soon and keep the podcast
going.
Duck on
by every letterbox I can. Let's wrap it up then for doing the dishes here. Do you think there's... What do you think we should say to them?
I feel like, look, you did the right thing in terms of you explained we're going to tip at the end of the night and then this guy was just a jerk. It's probably just not the bar for you. Like, look, we're not American, so we don't know the tipping culture as much. I remember when we went to the bar, Tom, and do we tip after every drink? And I'm like, well, he doesn't know if we're coming back or not. So that's possibly why you would tip after every drink. And I get that, but I don't like the tipping culture necessarily. And I think what you were going to do at tipping at the end was perfectly fine. And his reaction to you is a jerk. So
I think it's hard because it's expected, but there's also a lot of like not talked about. So it's like if you're not having the discussion, how are you supposed to know what the expectation is? It's like an unspoken rule. So this person had made it, put it on Front Street to say like, yeah, they're going to tip at the end. But his reaction as like a customer service person wasn't really the best, I got to say.
Yeah.
Damien's
just nodding in agreement.
I think you guys nailed it. And I think the problem with the server was he was expecting the money and he wasn't he was expecting it first and being a server second, which is never the way to be. You should just do your job. And if you're doing a good job, you will get the money. And because of that, he shot himself in the foot. So he only really has himself to blame.
Yep.
Yeah. He sort of got greedy and he was just like, oh, if this tip is not going to come, I'm going to go all in. And then, sorry, you lost. It's out.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's leave it there then for doing the dishes. Now, Damien, do you want to go next with this one?
I do, but guys, I did not bring a question in. I brought in a new segment because, you know, I feel like we're all had it giving advice now, so I thought, why not change it up a bit? But I will answer your question, Tom. Vacuuming is probably the job that I actually really enjoy doing.
Chuck on a
podcast, just kind of that nice, you know, the nice back and forth of the vacuum. It's kind of relaxing, you know?
I get it.
All right, so I guess I might as well set this segment up before we get into the meat of it. So this segment is called Pole Position, and I will explain why. So at the questionnaires, we're all about stupid questions, but other than the advice we give, we've never really delved into stupid answers. So I figured, why not make a segment of this? And so I'm going to be presenting you guys with a smorgasbord of silly survey results from around the world. Now, this segment is not a game for Tom's sake, but I will be presenting the surveys to you in multi-choice form, and you two will have to work together to work out which option is the real survey result. Make sense?
Yeah,
Marcus, makes sense. That means we're on the same team, so I will...
Yeah, we're on the same...
You get to feel what it feels like to lose still. We'll lose as a team.
I thought we'd not competing, but we're all going to answer the questions or whatever it was. And I'm like, so if I win, Tom's just like, it's just like another fucking game. And if Tom wins, he's technically not won a game yet still. So
it's true. Doesn't count.
Win for me.
Marcus, you are the prisoner and Tom is the weight attached to your ankle, just holding you back.
I am. Yeah, I am.
He's the shackles.
But so before we get into the segment, I just want to give a shout out to our finest knight, Survey, who compiled all these survey results for us. So shout outs to Survey. Appreciate that.
I bow down to you, Survey.
Of course. And what
nobody bows down to us,
bend
Tom,
the
right?
Knee.
Yeah, we don't bow to other people. They bow to us.
Of course. Bend the knee, Survey.
And
yeah.
What good is a new segment without a theme song? So, boys, let's get into Pole Position. Let's do it.
You have but one mission, to assume the pole position. The pole position. The pole position. No need to ask a position. Get in the pole position.
All right, it's pole position time.
I feel like I'm in a in the Berlin club, like underground, like just like with disco lights going.
I just took my shirt off.
I can see Tom's nipples. Oh mate, Tom's got tassels. Yeah.
Tom's got Tom's rocking a glowing pacifier right now as well. He's got a full rave. I actually collabed with the Royal DJs on that one. I think it turned out really well. So
very good. Nice.
So you guys ready? You've assumed the pole position.
Yeah.
All right, let's do
it. I was
it.
Hoping
so the
there was
going to
be like a race car sound effect. I got to say, but yeah. Eurotrash will do.
Yeah. Hold on. I was thinking that too, Tom. Mm. But then I thought, he's doing like a stripper pole dance sort of song.
Oh,
like,
okay. Yeah.
You can hear
I
that.
Get it.
Yeah. Think of it that way. There you go. We're in a strip club.
Right, yeah, for people listening, when that music hit, a bunch of pole dancers came out behind me as well. It was a whole song and dance. All right, so let's get into the first one. A 2012 survey of over 1,000 American adults showed that 51% of them thought stormy weather affected what? A, sex drive, B, cloud computing, or C, their ability to pray to God?
Ooh.
All right, Tom.
I like the cloud computing guess. That's funny because it's so literal.
It's cloud. Hey, it's in the cloud. Oh my God, the stormy weather. I cannot upload my my vacation photos onto the web. I honestly think it could be that. I mean, when Damien first started reading this question, I thought to myself, it's got to be something sexual. Like, obviously, I feel like Damon's got his head in the gutter. It has to be something sexual. But then he provided us with some extra answers that actually makes a bit of sense.
I would agree with you. I would say that sex drive would be my first guess, but I think I like cloud computing. I think that's so stupid that it just sort of tickles my pickle.
Yeah. So you don't believe there's any Catholics out there who are like, I tried praying to God, but the clouds were intense today. So I guess the big man's getting bad reception. I haven't heard from him all day.
Can't hear me.
I do believe that could be some people. But, we've been praying for over 2,000 years, Damien. I'm pretty sure people know that God ain't listening one way or the other. Or they know, they think that God's listening one way or the other. I feel like that 2,000-year-old praying sort of thing is turns me away from that one.
You're saying God has adapted his praying technology to deal with any type of weather.
2,000 years to adapt.
Do we want to go with cloud computing?
I definitely want to go with that one.
Let's just do it.
I feel like that's Let's do it. Let's live on the wild side, Tom.
Yeah.
Good job, uploaded. Boys. Cloud computing was it.
Very good.
That same survey showed that like 90% of people didn't know what cloud computing was. So that might explain the first thing as well.
Can we just say it's not in a cloud, it's in a warehouse somewhere? If we can explain that to people. It could not be further from the clouds. It's literally undercover in a warehouse.
I recall when cloud computing was first introduced, a lot of people were like, so wait, it's in the sky or something? Like, that was a very common answer people were saying. So the fact that, people are dumb.
Is my data safe amongst all that water?
Oh, that's funny. All right, are you boys ready for the next one?
Let's do it.
All right, so in a 2013 survey in the UK, people were presented with this hypothetical situation. There's a high-speed bus barreling towards you with no signs of slowing down. Your pet dog and blank stand in its path. You can only save one. Which do you choose? Out of 573 people, 40% of them said they would save their dog over what in this scenario? So here is the blank that they were propositioned with. Mm. Was it A, a tourist, B, the prime minister, or C, their best friend?
Oh, see.
So 40% of people chose to save their dog over one of these options.
So which option? So there's prime minister was one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tourist and a best friend.
I feel like best friend would be higher than that, surely.
Well, it's saying 40% would choose the dog, so 60% would choose the best friend. Is that what they're saying?
Best friend. Okay, yeah, okay. Then
so
that makes
basically, who is above a dog? Because you know what? People love animals more than they love people. Unfortunately, they're all three of them are people, so yeah. I would say tourist is the lowest.
No, I'd say prime minister is the lowest. Like,
yeah?
Yeah, people don't like politicians. And
that's true.
I'm with them.
You don't think someone would want to be a hero and save like the politician?
I feel like some people would. I just feel like it wouldn't be 60% of the population. I feel like it'd probably flip the other way around. I think people will save their own dog before they'd save any prime minister. That being said, okay. I feel like best friend would be up there.
What year was this, Damien? Did it say?
Yes, it did. It was 2013.
I don't even know who the prime minister was in the UK then, so I'm going to go with best friend as well. I feel like that's the obvious answer, but we could be wrong for some stupid reason.
Yeah.
Damon, all right, so the answer was a foreign tourist.
What?
40% of people would save their dog over a tourist.
I would save their dog over the tourist. Oh, okay. I think maybe I misinterpreted the question. I think I was just so 60% saved the tourist? No, I get you now.
That's right,
Tom.
That's right. You had the right interpretation, Tom. That's crazy.
That is crazy, yeah. Damn.
Yes, and when asked why, more than half simply said, I love my pet. So that was their justification for doing that.
But I would save my dog over. I don't even have a dog, and I'd save it over a tourist.
I would save a stray dog over a person.
I would save my own dog,
not a stray dog.
No, actually, you know what? Look,
if it was my dog and I've grown attached to it, and then I saw a tourist, and I had to choose between one or the other, it'd be very hard not to choose a dog.
Yeah, it's
true. You have more of a connection.
That's fine. No one would argue that, Marcus. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So 40% would agree with you, Marcus, from this survey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, according to this study, only 2% of dog owners would choose their dog if it meant sacrificing an immediate blood relative.
That makes sense.
That's sad. So it's like the man's best friend, except for anyone that's actually related.
My best friend. Yes. My friend.
I kind of like someone being like, I'd save my brother, of course, but ew, a Frenchman? Absolutely not. I'm not saving a Frenchman.
No way.
All right, let's go on to the next one. So you guys are 1-2, but you're both on 1 billion points. So congratulations on that. Next one up. In a 2014 US survey of 2,392 people, 11% believed which of these technology terms was actually a sexually transmitted disease. Was it A, DVD, B, HTML, or C, PDF?
PDF. I'm sure DVD is surely not a sexually trans. Wait, what year was it?
2014. No way.
2014.
No way. Yeah, it couldn't be that. Couldn't be that. I was going to say, unless like the younger population don't know what DVDs are because of all the streaming services. However, DVD, no, not in 2014.
You can also get VD as well.
I was going to say, it sounds like venereal disease, so it could be VD. HTML could be like HIV. Maybe they see the H and they're like, oh, that sounds like HIV. And PDF sounds like a I don't know, penile disease.
public displays of fornication.
Yeah. Could be that.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe HTML because I don't think a lot of people would know what like HTML web stuff would be related to. It could be similar to the bad knowledge of cloud computing. I would say HTML is my guess.
I was leaning towards PDF, public displays of fungus, but I'm still thinking HTML.
I can win or you can win. Maybe this is how we make it a game.
All right, this is it.
No, you have to work together. You're going against pole position.
All right. HTML. I'm agreeing with HTML. I feel like people don't know computers nearly as well as they probably should.
They know a PDF over HTML.
Hold on, it's 11% though. It's a small number.
Good point. It might be a really stupid thing.
It might be something as stupid as PDF. But or DVD. I'm going to go with HTML. Yeah, well, I don't think DVD. I think that's Damien's answer.
So you're locking in HTML?
All right, HTML. Yeah, let's go HTML.
In this scenario, if you guys had to come up with what HTML would stand for as a venereal disease, what would it stand for?
Horny. Oh, wait, HTML. I had it in my mind. Hairy, traumatic, male loins.
Wow.
Hairy and traumatic. That sounds bad.
I don't want to get that. I do not want to get HTML. You guys are spot on. It was HTML, so congratulations.
Wait, Damien, did you just stand in the way of me potentially winning? Because you didn't, you specifically, you don't want me to win. Jesus.
Tom, I can finally admit it now. This was a scheme planned by me and Marcus, a coup of sorts to always make you lose, to tarnish your public image on the podcast.
Whatever.
Some additional I apologize. You know, you're doing very well. Some additional info from this survey. Besides HTML, 27% identified gigabyte as an insect commonly found in South America. 23% thought an MP3 was a Star Wars robot. And 18% identified Blu-ray as a marine animal. So there you go.
But my answer to this is, how many people get into these surveys and would most of them be older generations, therefore their knowledge of computer stuff? I can imagine my mum going, HTML, it must be some sort of disease.
In a lot of these studies, they'll say like we interviewed people from 18 to let's say 50 and male and female. They kind of specify that it's a wide across. Age range.
Yeah, okay.
But you're probably right. That 11% probably was on the older side of the spectrum.
Yeah, cool.
Before I get into the last one here, have you guys ever taken part in like one of these surveys or anything like that?
No. I think there was probably a time where like the online survey like do this survey and it'll only take 15 minutes and you could go into your chance to win something, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think it was one of these sort of, never been something like this. Like how smart are you? Because I feel like I'd be insulted if I didn't, or I'd be stressing if I didn't know the answer.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know how you get into these surveys. Like I don't care about how smart I am or whatever. I would love to do it, but I'm not going to trust anything on the internet that says join this survey or do this survey.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, anyway. We'll get into the last one here. Let's finish up. Yep. You guys are doing very well. As I said, you're both on 20 billion points, so congrats on that.
Thank you.
Last one. A poll in 2019 posed 1,732 adults in the UK with a simple question. At your best, do you think you could beat blank? Who is the person that 1 in 8 men thought they could beat? Was it A, Ronda Rousey in a UFC fight? Keep in mind, she is a judo Olympic medalist.
Yeah.
Was it Marta in a 1v1 soccer match, a 6-time winner of FIFA's World Player of the Year? Or was it Serena Williams in a game of tennis, winner of 23 Grand Slams?
This, I know back in the day, Serena Williams challenged, when she was a younger child, challenged any male on the male circuit that she could beat him, and a male took her up on the challenge and smoked cigarettes and beat her, and she's like ranked 250, whatever it was. I know that's the story that's going around.
Isn't that Billie Jean King? That's the whole battle of the sexes thing, isn't it?
I think it's different. Anyway, that's besides the point. The point I'm trying to make on all of this is I don't feel like people will think they could beat Serena Williams after the 23 Grand Slams.
Yeah.
Because tennis is a skill. 1 in 8 men. The other one is soccer. Again, soccer is, I don't know who Marta is, but is it a woman soccer player?
All female athletes.
All female. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Soccer is something, is a skill. And I know a lot of British people probably thought that they're good at soccer.
Yeah.
However,
I could run circles around
Marta. I could do bicycle kicks better than Ronaldo. I think Ronda Rousey, the fighting. I feel like every man feels like they can fight, even if it's just a little bit.
Well, not us.
No. We all three of us know that we would get our asses whooped by Ronda Rousey. We'd be one of the seven out of the eight. But yeah. I'm sure there's enough cocky guys out there that think, oh, I could take her. I think it's Ronda Rousey.
I got to say, I mean, I'd throw it between the two as far as between fighting and the soccer, because two things about British people is like they love to have a drink at the pub, they love to get in a brawl, and they love their football. So you've got to assume it's got to be between those two at least. Yeah. Maybe if the survey was conducted at a pub, I reckon they'd be like, yeah, I'd be able to beat Ma'a at soccer. I reckon they'd maybe not realize how much better they are at, you know, at playing soccer than, yeah. And it could be like a, and it's obviously it's a male and female thing to think that power is everything. You might be right, Marcus. Power over skill, because of the skill of tennis and soccer.
So what are you saying, boys? What's your choice?
Look, I'll agree with Marcus. I don't believe it to be true. I don't think I could stand like 5 seconds in the ring with Ronda Rousey. So, but I reckon maybe 1 in 8 might think that they could beat Ronda Rousey.
I think 1 in 8. I think 7 out of the 8 people are smart. Yep. 1 out of 8 people are dumb in this situation. They think they can fight. And it's probably because they've been into a few fights and they've lost a few brain cells already that they think they can do it.
All right. So you're locking in Ronda Rousey?
Let's lock it in.
All right. The actual answer was Serena Williams.
Whoa. Oh. Tennis? Yeah. Really?
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts. I mean, out of all things, tennis takes probably the most skill out of those two, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I'm hoping in this scenario that they only asked 8 people and one of them happened to be Federer. This is the only way this makes sense, this result.
Federer's like, yeah, I could, of course. Could.
Yeah. More interesting.
All right, and that's it. And it, for a little bit of extra info, only 3% of women thought they could. So there you go, men with their hubris, classic. And Tom, I don't want to eat into any more of your question time going forward. So no that worries. Was pole position. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
You have but one mission, to assume the pole position.
Brilliant. Loved it, Damien. Love the song. Love the game. It's very, very nice. Now, I'll move into my question nice and quick so we can get this all wrapped up. This one's going to come from Ironing.
Oh, you like a bit of iron.
Dude, I do. I feel like it. I only really like ironing shirts, though, because there's like a nice method to it that I have. And I don't know, it's just quite rewarding to do. And I just don't mind doing it.
I feel like all of our like chores have all got some end goal in mind. Like me washing dishes, you see the dirt come off the dish. Damien, you see the dust come off the floor. Tom, you see the crease came out of the shirt. That's
true.
That's it. Boys, I'm just saying,
maybe we should all just leave our partners and move in together. We've all got the jobs covered.
We're housemates.
That's right. Perfect. Happy. What's like the boy equivalent of happy wife, happy life? I can't think of one.
Happy boy, happy toy? I don't know. Like it's
okay. Sure, right. Sure. Right. Let's go. Let's get into Tom's question.
You're sleeping outside.
Tom's question is, that's all right, cool.
All right, so Ironing writes in, did I mess up during this interview? So last week I had an interview with a hiring manager for a position that I really want. It was conducted over Microsoft Teams and he originally stated that it was a phone interview. But when I logged onto the Teams, he turned on his video. I didn't put my professional clothing on, so I kept my camera off. He didn't mention anything about turning my camera on. On the same day, he scheduled another interview with the head of the department to have on Monday, aka yesterday. I figured it was a phone interview again. However, since it wasn't otherwise stated in the email. However, when I opened the Microsoft Teams link and started the interview, they asked if I was going to turn on video. This caught me off guard and I told them I apologize. However, I'm not wearing professional clothing right now. They said it was completely okay. But once our interview was all over, they told me for the next interview, I need to have my camera on. I apologized once again and I told them I will. However, I'm wondering if this was looked at as a red flag on my end. Before the interview, I was thinking to myself, I should get dressed up, but didn't because I figured it would just be like a first interview. What do you guys think? Ironing.
Like when I first got interviewed for my current job, it was a video call and they explicitly said video call.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, well, they're going to be seeing my face. Like I naturally assumed like it's not hard to get ready and just look a little bit professional for a video call. I feel like you should be wearing, like if it's a video call, definitely dollar, because then you can always impress with your face looking nice and looking all professional on a video call, as opposed to not showing your face, the only thing that's going to happen is negative.
Yeah.
I do think this is on this guy. The first time, sure, you made a mistake, but if the precedent was set with the first interview, you should have seen it coming with the second one, right? Like, it's true, the same company. It was a video chat. He had a second chance to get dressed, but he was like, oh, they never explicitly stated it when you've already experienced the first call. That's on you.
Yeah. I will play devil's avocado, as we like to do, and say, you know, you said, what has he got to hide? Well, the only thing he could have to hide is he's ugly. Really, that's all he's got to hide. And you shouldn't be hiring someone based on their looks, correct? It should be the most qualified person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes, you know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. Maybe you just want to see if they've got crazy eyes or something. I think you'd want to see the candidate you're interviewing, right? Totally.
Yeah,
I think so.
I feel like you 100% want to see the person. Like, if you're going to hire someone, like, this is, like you said, you're not hiring someone that looks. That's why he got the second and the third interview. So obviously it hasn't hurt his chances. He's got those extra interviews.
That's true.
But you want to see who you're hiring because, you know, if they come into the office, you want to know what they look like. It's like you want to have an understanding of, hey, that's Jim over there. We hired him. He's a nice. He's a nice candidate. Yeah, he might be dog ugly, but we hired him because he's qualified. Like, yeah. We know this because we had that phone interview, the video interview. I mean, you need that phone call.
Because of lockdown, obviously me and my partner are working at home and she has to conduct a lot of video interviews for her job because she's like, that's part of her job, right? Mm-hmm. The amount of times I've forgotten that she is doing an interview and I'll walk into the room, she's like conducting an interview, and I'll just be like, oh, what's going on, love? And she'll give me this look of like, shut the fuck up. I'm interviewing a candidate right now. You would think after like 6 months or however long lockdown's been, I would have learnt, but I've done it so many times and I feel bad for her because I'm like, I'm making your job hard when it shouldn't be this hard.
Damien's going to get a Microsoft Teams link from his girlfriend. He's realizing he's getting fired.
Like, he's getting fired. Oh, yeah, that's it.
Oh, no. It can't happen. If I don't turn my camera on, it's not real.
I'm going to have to let you go. But like, and I've spoken to my girlfriend about this. It's been interesting to be like, because obviously people are working from home. Some people like are doing the interviews from their car and stuff because they're trying to get away from their kids and just have like 30 minutes of interview time.
Yeah, it's
quiet. Like, I think the video component is a big part because I think you want to, regardless of what the person looks like or whatever, I think it is nice to just have, you know, an image of what the person looks like that you're interviewing, regardless of looks or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. What I like about this, like, though, is they're like, sorry, go.
I was going to say, like, imagine doing this podcast without the video component and it was just us doing the voice. Oh. We know what each other look like, but you do lose an element of connection without that visual component.
Yeah. I like staring into your eyes, guys. I like to see what you're, that's it, Damien.
Get up close,
you got
Damien.
Beautiful eyes there. That's it. No, but you're right. You need that human interaction.
What I like, though, is they had the first interview and they probably finished up like, what do you think? Pretty good. He didn't turn his camera on. No, that's okay. We'll get him on another interview. They have the second interview and the same thing happens. Like, god damn, he didn't do it again. Like, they're just going to keep sort of rolling the dice to be like, turn your camera on. Like, what are you hiding? You're very good, but what is wrong with you? We need to see. Are you in a dungeon or something like that? We need to know what is the red flag about you?
He turns on the camera and he's Quasimodo from the
Hunchback
of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
No, Tom, you hit on such a good point that the fact that it's the whole thing of not seeing, like, it's like in Home Improvement, right? That very old sitcom, the neighbor, Wilson, you can only see the top half of his face. Yep. And even though it has no impact on the show or the story, people are like, what does he look like? I need to know. And that's like hundreds of episodes and people are dying to know what he looks like and it's on their mind. So in this scenario, he's Wilson them in a way. They're like, what does this guy look like? What is he hiding? We need to know.
He like finally comes on the camera and he's got a fence in front of his face as well. He's done the Wilson. I urge anyone that's having a job interview to do the Wilson. When you can on camera, do the Wilson.
I like to think that the only reason why he's got the second and third interview is not because he's a good candidate or anything like that. It's just because he's left enough mystery. They're like, we want to know what he looks like. We want to know what he looks like. And once we know what he looks like, we can let him go. But until then.
We're absolutely giving him the job, but we just want to see him first.
We love the man of mystery. We love him. He comes into the office with a giant question mark on his face.
He's the Riddler, basically.
He has a rag over his head or a bag, sack.
So So do you think that he's done the bad thing by doing it twice in a row? I feel like the second one, he probably should have turned the camera on, especially if it's a Microsoft Teams link. There's the option to just flick that camera on, at least look somewhat respectable from the torso up.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like Marcus hit on, he's done good enough without the visual element to get another interview. So why not hit? You got to hit him with the razzle dazzle this time. Be in a suit, have the slicked hair. Like yeah. Because you've been like, you know, hiding in the rafters. Now you got to really come out and hit him with the goods. Is what I'm thinking. You can really make it count.
We've obviously been working from home for a lot, and there's a lot of video calls, a lot of meetings. I'm sure everyone's had. Do you find it weird when people put on those backgrounds?
Yeah,
like Zoom calls.
I don't like them. I feel like what I don't like is the stock backgrounds that they always have. Like with Zoom, there's like one of like a beach, and there's one of like San Francisco, like Golden Gate Bridge and stuff. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. You can put a background on, put something else on. But I think it's almost like it's the only way you can sort of like spice up your little shindy, what you got going on behind you. Maybe make yourself feel. And someone had like a Barbie playhouse, like a pink, two pink staircases coming behind them. I'm like, that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool. But it's like,
was Ken in the background as well? Was Ken in the background?
Ken was in the background. He goes, oh, what's going on, love? He like walked in.
Hey, Barbie, what's going on? I saw like a next level Zoom thing on YouTube. I think it was done by CNET. There was this one guy who pre-recorded all his responses to questions that he was anticipating to get from his bosses. So he didn't actually partake in the Zoom interview. He just played canned responses that he'd prepared earlier. Nice. And it's really funny. He did it for a whole week. It's a great watch. And nobody in his team realized the whole time. So it just shows you can get away with a lot over a Zoom call.
I think you can stretch like disbelief with Zoom, because if you're frozen for half a second and you don't give like the quickest response, it's sort of believable. Also, people have a bit of Zoom fatigue. So maybe they're not paying as close attention to things, especially in meetings and stuff. So like that's a very clever idea, actually.
Definitely. I don't like the backgrounds because I'm like, it's distracting. I'm trying to look at this person and then I'm seeing like this beach in the background. I'm like, man, I wish I was there.
Where is that?
What they're saying for about 10 minutes. And I lose what they're saying for like 5 minutes. And then it's distracting. I don't like it.
And that's how Tom felt when he saw Barbie's Dream House. I wish I was there.
Now I'm jealous.
I wish I was getting pampered by Ken.
So this person here, do you think, like, they've obviously got the third interview, so I think they'll be okay. Obviously, they should be dressing up. But do you think they did the wrong thing for the first two?
Yes, but I don't think he has to worry about that now. He has the old third time's a charm under his sleeve. So I think he just has to put it in the past, and you can really knock him out with this third impression.
I think what advice we can give anybody that's going for a job interview is take the time to get ready. And if it's a video call, it doesn't take long to get ready. I would imagine females might take a little bit longer because they like to do the makeup and all that, but it's not that hard to get ready for an interview. You put the effort in. If you're actually going in person to a job interview, you would get ready. So I would always recommend getting ready. Even if there's no video call, at least you know, I'm ready, I'm prepared for it if there is a video call.
Yeah, I agree. I think just flick the camera on, buddy. Just put a shirt on and that's it.
Definitely.
All right. Well, let's leave it there for ironing and let's leave it there for the podcast. That's all the time we have. Actually, we've gone longer than we usually have, but great questions and a game brought to the table as always.
Not a game.
It was a segment, let's just say. Let's just call it a segment.
A recurring segment.
Yeah. Ooh, let's hope it comes back. Just want to make sure you boys aren't going to be doing any sort of, irresponsible non-social distancing over this nice weekend like we have seen on the news. The weather's good, but just try to hold back.
Look, I was going to say St. Kilda have that covered with how many people were at the beach yesterday. We don't need to do anything.
Yeah, it's true. There's actually no room for us. We couldn't go if we wanted to because there's physically no space. No space to do it.
Mosh pit at the beach.
We're on the tail end. We're almost there. We can do this, Victoria.
Let's just get through and then we can all go to the beach properly and we'll see each other once again. Maybe we can record a show from the beach. That'd be nice, boys.
Yeah.
And proceed to destroy hundreds of dollars of equipment with sand getting into everything.
Whatever. It's been a tough year, Damien. Let me just try to enjoy something. All right.
Fair enough.
Well, we should probably leave it there. That's all the time we have. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at tqhpodcast@gmail.com just to say hi, or if you've got a question of your own, we'd happily answer it here. Otherwise, that is all the time we have. As I said, thank you to everyone out there for listening. Thank you, of course, to Marcus.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you to Damien.
Thanks, guys.
And as we end every episode, stay curious.
Thank you again for listening. If you want to get in touch with us and ask us a question of your own, you can email us at tqhpodcast@gmail.com.
That email again, Tom,
is tqhpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on what, Marcus?
We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook
at tqhpodcast. You can find us there. And we are also on, Damien,
wherever you can get a podcast, that is where the TQH podcast is. Spotify, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, you name it, we're on there.
And if you head over to iTunes, rate, subscribe, and leave a review, that would be fantastic. 5 stars if you think we deserve it. Thanks for listening.